Beautiful. Thank you for putting it that way. I mean, the whole idea with the album, because we didn't just start writing songs and like dicking around, we pretty much started from the ground with this like outline that I had constructed that had this narrative arc that you're talking about. Because I didn't like necessarily come from a musical background. I studied creative writing, so I think about things in terms of stories and how to like impact people emotionally with stories. So yeah, I thought a lot about how like you can't just hit people over the head with like anger right from the start, because anger exists in context of other things, grief exists in the context of love, like all these other things, and like hope at the end of the set. I hope there's like a little bit of hopefulness or something. That's up for other people's interpretations, I guess. But yeah, I like that interpretation that you put forward. Thank you.
It came specifically from one song where you start off going, "I wanted to be a romance novelist" or something like that. And then there's a complete breakdown into so yeah, can you tell me a bit more about like writing those songs? Because I also know that people watching this, some of these songs aren't even out there. So, you know, just give people a bit of context to all that.
We opened the set with this song called Singer. Singer, or I wanted to be a singer. We call it Singer. So I wanted to start the set with something that immediately sort of like let people know that they were going to be forced to look at themselves in a way that might be uncomfortable. Because while I was writing this record and performing it, like I just noticed that there was this sort of romanticization of the pain and the screaming that I was like, okay, how much is this art that I'm making actually contributing to this sort of glamorization of women's pain and violence? And so I wanted to like start the set and the album off with like this thing that's like, I would have liked to be good at any other type of writing if I had the choice. I would like to be in a band where I can get on stage and, you know, wear a pretty dress and sing and feel good. But that's not the reality. That's not what I happen to be an expert in. So let's just stop and take a moment and think about what you're going to watch before you come up to me after drunk saying that I pissed all over you. I just kind of like, yeah, I wanted to immediately confront people. And that comes after a moment where I like introduce the set and give a trigger warning. Because I think that at the same time, like you said, like these things exist in context. So at the same time as I want to confront people, I want to make sure it's like a safe space where people can experience the benefits of being challenged and actually like grow from their experience of watching us, in whatever way they decide that they want to or need to grow.
When I grow up, I want to be an astronaut.
When I grow up, I want to be an artist.
When I grow up, I want to be a football player.
When I grow up, I want to be a cat hotel owner.
When I grow up, I want to be a baseball player.
When I grow up, I want to be.
No metaphors. No techniques. I don't know if writing about violence is helping me. Am I helping you? I keep trying to make my pain mean something. Turn my pain into something useful. I spend my life trying to turn my pain into something beautiful. I wanted to write romance novels. Now I need perfect control over my victim narrative. The story of a girl who was silent and passive.
dog, and now animals scare me. I wanted to write romance novels. I wanted to feel safe in my body.
I wanted to be a singer.
People would listen! 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 Listen to me, please! This is not a song! It's so hard!
I learned some people only believe you when your knees are bleeding.
I learned some people only listen when you're screaming! But I wanted to be a singer.
Every year, millions and millions of pictures are made of women with our legs spread, our genitals are tied up, they're pasted. Millions and millions of pictures are made of us in postures of submission and sexual access. And the major motif of pornography as a form of entertainment is that women are raped and violated and humiliated until we discover that we like it. And at that point, we ask for more.
Chosen one! We're not like the other horns! The freaking of the horns! I'm learning to take the iron bars and I push my teeth and they'll help pull me from the cage! But there's a stickiness on my tongue. I never wash it out. You know, it's where I like it and I can't say that I don't.
Some words are bigger than bodies. I never learned how to get them out of my mouth. I never learned how to get them out of my mouth.
But also, like, people who've not seen you guys live may have only heard of those three songs, as which are demos. Where did you guys record those demos? Because they're very, like, DIY, right?
Yeah, we recorded them in the basement where we lived. And then the vocals we recorded in a van that I have. I have, like, this camper van. And we drove out into, like, an industrial area and screamed in the van. And, like, yeah, some people were popping their heads in to be like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, but in some of them, you can, like, hear the... Or where was that? Anyways, it's... Yeah, it was sort of done in a mixture of a van and a basement.
Yeah.
And all that was just to be, like, considered neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to scare our
still got to pay the rent and all.
Yeah.
But so you've got those three demos out on Bandcamp, and that's basically all the exposure that people have to you. But, like, all these shows have been selling out and people have been really excited, and it feels really genuinely word of mouth. So how is the, because I feel like when people come saying, oh, someone I know told me about you guys and they really, really recommended I see you and all of that, I feel like the audience comes in expecting more and, like, connects with it a bit more strongly. Mm. So how have you guys found the audience response to be?
Yeah, we've been so lucky. Like, for me, I moved away from my home where I, you know, experienced a lot of things and knew a lot of people, and moved into this scene in Vancouver. And everybody was telling me, don't move to Vancouver. It's hard to make friends. You're committing suicide to your music career, which is crazy because I make punk music. So I never thought I was going to have a career. and yeah, it was like the complete opposite. Like from the very first show that we played, I was overwhelmed by how warm people were and how, yeah, thoughtful. Like people would come to shows in Vancouver like over and over and over again, even though we played the same set. And
even like before the shows though too, like people found the demos before we even played.
Yeah.
And like
there were people at the first show.
Yeah, like and like didn't Sterling see the demos online? Yeah. And that's how he
shout out Sterling.
Yeah. Like I was like yeah, don't look at it. But yeah, no, it's been
we didn't even promo the demos when we released them. We just like put them out and we were like, yeah, the demos are up. You want to listen? the word of mouth is really awesome. And I feel like it's allowed us to meet a lot of really cool people. There are always like a row of people at the front who are, I can just like see in their faces, they're like really connecting. And that's what makes me feel safe, because it's like this symbiotic relationship that I have where I'm sharing something that is difficult to share, but it doesn't feel that difficult in the moment when we have that. The only shows where I feel really anxious and nervous is when I kind of feel like this is not like an underground or DIY crowd that I'm used to, like in Vancouver. Then I'm kind of like, oh, this is a lot of men looking at me. And like, I'm glad that men come to the shows. And I'm glad that they resonate with it and they're welcome. But yeah, I think that the response from femme people, queer people has been, that's like the most important thing to me.
So everything turned out all right because you prevailed.
Right.
That's
the point.
The
thing.
And you weren't a victim in the sense
pick
because
pick up the pieces.
Right.
Yeah. Go on with your life.
Right.
Move on. And
so how long before that beautiful body was being used again? Probably for years you wouldn't even use it.
Oh, no. You gotta get right back
in the saddle.
Is sort of what one of the best case scenarios in some of these performances, because they are visceral. Mm-hmm. They are meant to like make you start thinking about something as well. Mm-hmm. And you deal very openly with themes of sexual assault, of like misogyny, of violence, mm-hmm. Of like trauma and carrying it forward. And I've heard people say this as well. It's more like performance art than mm-hmm. just punk or like a hardcore show.
Yeah.
So was that like a planned thing? Because like when you go in, it's very different from what a normal punk show would look like.
Yeah, the narrative arc of the music was very carefully planned. I didn't know that it was going to be perceived like that, because it doesn't feel like theater to me, because it's my real story. So I wasn't like, oh, this is a play or anything. But I understand now that it's like perceived that way. And so I tried to kind of like think about that mindfully when I'm performing. And it's been really fun. It's kind of like a new art form that I never really thought about before.
Yeah, I think of that when I think of songs like Blocking Out a Scene You Can't Remember. Like that one really, because it's so spoken word and everything. Yeah. And like, I think people are really looking at you, your face, your like body language in that particular song. Mm-hmm. That I think that really makes it feel kind of performance art. Even though it's set to like almost indie guitars.
Yeah. Yeah, and like the monologue format of it too probably aids in that. Yeah.
And then along with that, there's also like the field recording. So I feel like there are two sides to the piss show. It's not just putting like your experiences in context of your life, but it's also like putting the personal in the context of the political. So you've got these like speeches, the field recordings, the sort of lectures that happen at the start and the end of the songs. So I kind of want to know why you decided to have those in your music as well.
Yeah. When we were structuring out the record, I wanted to give as many different opinions or like different reflections on the subject matter, because I don't believe that there's one single ideology or solution to the problem. And I also thought, this is kind of a long-winded roundabout way to get to the answer that you are looking for, but when I was studying poetry, I would think a lot about the accessibility of poetry and how, like, I would be writing poems for people that I grew up with, so like working class people. Meanwhile, not a lot of working class people feel like they can really attach themselves to poetry or can really like sink their teeth into it, at least the people that I grew up with. So I was always thinking about this sort of like, how do I write poetry that's for the people I'm writing it for without patronizing them? Because these people aren't idiots. They're just not, they don't have the literary education. So it's like less accessible to them. So what I tried to do with this record was look at accessibility less as like grading language or dumbing things down, and more like adding as many access points, sort of like doors into the record. So if you like a certain type of genre of music, we pulled different like genre influences throughout the record. So we have like a slowcore song, we have a grindcore inspired song, we got like a punk song. So you can hear something and be like, oh, I like that. And then you're sort of invited into this thing where you're also going to see a bunch of stuff that challenges you a little bit. And it was the same with the samples, just providing all these different writers and also people who could speak a lot more articulately on the subject matter than I can. Like, these are genius people who've been talking about this for a really long time. And thirdly, to give this idea of violence in our culture being omnipresent and something that you just can't escape no matter where you go. You can go to books and movies and music, and you'll find it everywhere. The impacts of it are far-reaching. So
it's almost like then having those like further reading things at the end of a Wikipedia article. Yeah, and then you go and like, you know, do your required reading after.
The room is lit by the face of her cell phone. His number is dialed. She's finally going to cut. Again. A girl lays on her back in the dark, staring at the ceiling. Something has been weighing on her for a long time. The room is lit by the face of her cell phone. His number is dialed. She's finally going to let him have it. At first, I thought I was only dreaming. You cut again. At first, I thought I was only dreaming. You saying you've only ever known violence, but there was a cut again. But there was a kindness in what you cut again. But there was a kindness in what you did. How each night you cut again. How each night you waited for me to leave so you could cut again. How each night you waited for me to leave. You could be alone with my body. It was just a dream. Each night I sunk into the cut again. I sunk into the cut again. I sunk into the dark and woke with different limbs, teeth stitched to the back of my lips, and fingers sewn in the wrong places, and I still. still feel the cut again. I still feel the weight of all that skin cut again. I still feel the weight of all that skin cut again. I still feel the weight of all that skin. Well, you wake up every morning, stepping light as ever. Does your wife know that cut again? Does your wife know that cut again? Does your wife know that you sewed your hands on my cut? No! Does your wife know that you sewed your hands on my back? Everyone after you is trying to cut again. Everyone after you is trying to cut again. Everyone after you is trying to amputate, but all I do is bleed, cut again. All I do is bleed, cut again. All I do is bleed. Will you tell your children bedtime stories about me? The sleepwalker, crawling with teeth, fingers in her mouth. Too many hands, cut again. Too many hands, cut again. Too many hands to count. Too many hands to count. Too many hands to cut. I want to cut again. I want to cut again. I want to give it all back to you. I want to give it all back to you. I know what you did was all you knew. I know what you did was all you knew. I know what you did. I know what you did. I know. Interior. A girl's bedroom. Nighttime. A girl lays on her back in the dark, staring at the ceiling. Something has been weighing on her for a long time.
It also feels like there's a healing process on stage every night. So it's like you go in there, you're tackling like these really heavy themes. But for all of you guys, it feels like it's a really cathartic kind of hour or so as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the thing that makes me able to be just completely free to feel safe and like unravel the way that I do is because everything is so meticulously crafted and it's very planned. Like I know everything that's going to happen. We've been rehearsing it. It's like very within my control. And also these guys, like they've dedicated their talents and strengths to uplifting what I have to say.
There's a lot that we do, like visual cues and everything for me, Gareth, and Gavin, which when we played, I think, was it Project Nowhere? The smoke machine was going so hard that actually messed up one of our cues because I couldn't see Gareth behind the drum kit. So again, there's the, you know, these structures that are in place so that like we can kind of hold down the fort while Entei doesn't have to worry about the music part of it. She can kind of do her thing.
Yeah,
and we're a lock
down. Catharsis, and they're locked in.
I want to move into talking about the scene that you guys come from. So Vancouver, I think, has had some pretty good like guitar bands coming out of there in the last 5 to 10 years. Mm. There's always something happening. It has a really rich punk history, of course. Mm-hmm. But like, what are some things you guys are listening to? Who are some of like the local bands you are going and seeing who you think we really need to be listening to?
Yeah. If you like heavy music, political music, my favorite Vancouver band is Emma Goldman. Emma Goldman is like a scrams band. You need to listen to their album, All You Are Is We.
Yeah,
fantastic. I can actually pass this around because I think we can.
Oh, on the scrams train as well. Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead. Amazing Vancouver band.
Yeah, they're really good. Rest in peace, though.
Oh, they done?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Well, I don't know if they're done, but they're not in Vancouver
anymore.
Oh,
right, yeah.
They moved?
Moved away.
Yeah.
Oh. The band Computer. We just played with them in Rotterdam, and they're really cool. They just put out a record this year.
Describe what they do.
They are a six-piece I would say like sort of post-punk, but they also have like some kind of like noisy things going on too. Yeah, they make really awesome long rock songs.
Mm-hmm.
Very meditative, very cathartic in ways. That's too.
We are very close with a band called Still Depths. They are noisy and weird and amazing, semi-based in Vancouver, a little bit in Calgary too. Mm-hmm. A shout out to the future, my friend Strumming Patterns, who is, his name is Ben, but he's the coolest guitarist in the world, so.
Yeah.
He's kind of the goat.
In general, Vancouver has a lot of really cool like femme-fronted projects. We just played a rickshaw show and I got to like curate the bill. And like Cherry Pick is like a shoegazy femme-fronted act, and Sundress is a new act that I think a lot of people would really like. They've only been around for like a year, but they're doing really well because they're amazing. Vancouver, I'm biased, but honestly, I think it's criminally underrated.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It is for sure. But you guys picked really good lineups otherwise too. Like last night in Montreal when you played, you had Ribbon Skirt opening, who are also super hyped right now.
Mm-hmm.
Truck Violence also played.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We love like everyone that was on that bill last night.
We bought their t-shirt as well.
Oh, yeah. 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 Huge fans.
That was a very, very when we got told we were playing that show, we were really excited.
Yeah.
That was a big show for us.
So what's coming up next for you guys? Like I imagine there's a busy year ahead.
Yeah, we got a month of rest.
Thanks. More than a month, like 2 months.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. And then we'll be doing some winter dates around Canada. We are going to Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, Saskatoon. That's in January. And then we are playing Tree Fort in Idaho in March. We're just shooting some music videos for our album release and doing a really awesome art project that I won't reveal too much about. But it's like our album art project.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I've bitten off more than I can chew, as I always do. But hopefully it pays off. It's awesome. I have some really amazing collaborators. So.
Well, you guys pulled it off really well. So mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to it. Where can people keep up with you guys best? Just your Bandcamp page?
Yeah, we...
And Neopets.
I saw that. Your website is actually like a Geocities or
it's
Neopets.
No, I refer to it as Neopets. So,
yeah, we have a website that I coded myself on Geocities, and I don't keep up with it as much as I should. But we do have an Instagram that we all run. If you message us there, you'll get one of us. And yeah, we're on Bandcamp right now. But record coming summer 2026.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much to the Houndstooth for having us, and thanks so much to you guys for taking out the time and doing this just before your show.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to it. There's a lot of unsuspecting people who are gonna have their minds blown today.
Thank you.
And I hope they go away having like learned something from it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys.
That was such a beautiful and thoughtful interview.
Oh, thank you.
I'm ready for a beer.
We have to find some way to keep the rapists off the street. Now, there are different ways of doing it. Law is only one way of doing it. I myself favor violence deeply. I favor it. And the reason that I favor it is that the law isn't working. And as long as the law isn't working, women who have been attacked or who are being attacked need to be able to understand that they have a right to defend themselves against anyone who is attacking them.
Thank you.
the evidence for it. Do not support the belief. Can you let great things die? Can you talk to the future? Can you let great things die? You can touch this. Do you ever have flashbacks of the bed spring squeaking? Do you respect the power of liquor and oxytocin? Do God never force themselves to your resting mind? How can you act off of it? To this emotion. Can you act opposite to this emotion? How can you act opposite to this emotion?
Hi, I'm Tay.
I'm Gareth.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Gavin.
We are Piss, and you are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Woo! Woo! Yes!
Yes! Yes!
Thank you, guys. That was
welcome to The Freedom Principle, Canada's longest-running community program featuring new releases of the African diaspora in the emerging genre of world jazz. This program is produced in the town of LaSalle, Ontario, at the 42nd parallel, 8 kilometers south of Detroit, Michigan. The Freedom Principle can be heard across Canada from the Salish Sea of British Columbia to the Grand Banks of the Atlantic Ocean, and we are honored to be on this excellent community radio station. Stay tuned for some great new releases.
Oh, yeah. We started this edition of The Freedom Principle with London-based Nigerian trumpeter Ife Ugunjobi. As a core member of Ezra Collective, Ugunjobi has been central to the current wave of UK jazz, blending West African rhythmic language with London's contemporary improvising scene. His new self-released LP is titled Tell Them I'm Here, from which we heard the track East Street Market. Thanks for joining me on this episode of The Freedom Principle. My name is Tom Fleming, and I'll be your guide as we explore new releases and reissues from across the African diaspora for this second week of December 2025. Our first full set begins in the UK with the Brighton-based ensemble Me and My Friends, known for their warm blend of soul, folk, and Afro-Caribbean-influenced dance music. From their new release, Bring Summer, on Era Trumpet Music, here's their tune Tell Me, on The Freedom Principle.
Tell me, tell me, tell me.
O grito do Morro dos Palmares atravessou os sete mares e o canto ressoou de um povo quebrando as correntes. Essa raça, essa gente, povo forte de Xangô. Nossa gente, o açoite não calou. Jaquatune vem Zumbi, que o povo libertou. Rosas, Jorges e Marias já conhecem sua cor. Do romper essas correntes, liberdade em nós cantou. Injustiças também tem que se quebrar. Os grilhos das diferenças também tem que se quebrar. Para o povo de Zumbi, o seu canto entoar. Calou, Jaquatune vem Zumbi, que o povo libertou. Rosas, Jorges e Marias já conhecem sua cor. Do romper essas correntes, liberdade em nós cantou.
From Brazil, pianist João Luiz Pianista brought us Grito dos Palmares, the cry of Palmares, referencing the historic Afro-Brazilian Maroon community. That's from his new self-released album, Uma Blues Pra Voce, a blues for you, on Gravadora Experimental imprint. Prior to that, we heard our Wandan singer, Bizimungu Diadone, with Tabara Ryan Gombe from their posthumous release, titled Inzovi Yimirindi, or Elephant Steps, drawn from tapes that survived the Rwandan genocide, even though the artists themselves did not, now issued on Mississippi Records. And we opened the set with the Brighton, England-based ensemble Me and My Friends with their tune Tell Me, from their new release Bring Summer on Ear Trumpet Music. Now we shift to Southeast Asia with the Amsterdam-based Indonesian collective Nusantara Beat and their track Gapura, from their new self-titled album on Glitter Beat Records, on The Freedom Principle.
Thank you.
Nazazio, Lono Kutula, and prone for the details. Sukutano Kuteta is in Nazazio. Kutheni ungandimameli ndigqiba ukuthetha, kutheni ungandibuzi. Please don't assume, you will never know. Wabisibebele rongo. You don't know that it brings challenges, and you must just take it away and let it go forever, ever. To make it easy for you and us, Mr. or Miss Know It All, peddling lies, uzubaka and uni, meddling in affairs you don't fit. You need to change forever and ever. Sungu zigqibela mntana womntu, ngoku uzoxakeka uxake nathi ngendaba ongazaziyo. Ndiyabunqanda lo mkake.